an evening, no doubt, of celebrating and kind of laying a little bit of the foundation. And while you're turning there, Revelation chapter 21 this evening, make a note that next Wednesday night we will be starting a series entitled, What Do Christians Believe? And it's going to be a foundational series in what we believe in the faith, why we believe what we do and what we hold to. Why do we look at the Bible and understand it in the way that we do? Why does the Christian lean so heavily upon God's Word? And we'll go through various and many topics regarding what Christians believe. Because the world out there is very confused about what you and I believe. They think they know. A lot of Christians think they know what they believe. But when asked, what is their faith founded upon or their belief? Many of them can't answer the questions that are needful to their foundational strength in Christ. So next Wednesday night, especially if you don't know anybody, or if you do know somebody, I would say, that doesn't know the Lord or has got a lot of questions about Christianity, then starting next Wednesday evening, you might want to bring them and have them listen to what we believe as Christians. Very, very fundamental to our faith, of course. Well, tonight, as we look to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, we're going to be looking at just a few verses here, and it is really a portion of Scripture that is no doubt yet future, yet at the same time, it is happening right now in the presence of the Lord, where God, of course, who dwells in eternity, though tonight is all brand new to us, it's nothing new for Him. He knew about this day, He knew about this evening, and we've just stumbled into it because our God is the God who controls all things. And so tonight, we would just like to consider this evening, by way of title, a willful offering. And that's why we're here this evening. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 22 and 23. It says there, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb," that is Jesus Christ, "the Lamb of God, is its light." And tonight I just want to talk about a few things as we christen this building regarding our worship. Everybody, we're here and we're singing and we're praising God, and it's just the beginning of what the Lord wants to do. But keep this in mind, our worship cannot be contained when we worship rightly. It cannot be contained in our hearts. It's impossible. God has made you and I creatures of worship. That's why before we came to Christ, we were pursuing so many other things in our lives. Maybe it was money or drugs or sex or rock and roll or whatever we were going after to try to fill that void that is within every human being. And as corny as it sounds to the non-believer, they will never be happy until they learn and until they participate in the worship of God. It's the way we're wired. And so we worship the Lord. Our hearts, though, cannot fully contain the worship that would be expressed from us, nor can this building contain our worship. It's impossible. It would be silly for us to think that, well, you know what, now we've got a house of worship. Around town, we've been hearing people say, I'm going to go to that church that's being built, and I'm going to go to that house of worship once it's built. Why? I mean, we're glad that you're here if you snuck in among us. And by the way, by the looks of you, there's only about, I don't know, maybe this section was here last Wednesday night, or I should say in the other building. And maybe some of you ought to go into sales by the looks of the turnout tonight. You have really told a lot of people. That's a cool thing. It's cute. Don't take it wrong. But in these weeks, it's just kind of an experiment for us to try things out. But we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that we've had a chance to worship together, and we'll do more of that later. But remember this, and that is that there is a day coming when no sanctuary will be able to house our worship. And I'm really glad for that. This is only a temporary spot that we've settled in tonight. This place is to prime our worship pump, so to speak. And as we look to the book of Revelation here in these two verses, we see worship taking place in heaven. We see the culmination of time and eternity beginning. And in Revelation 21, there is this great, great presence that John is recording of worship. And all of the attributes, as he in the Spirit has entered into the dwelling place of God, and he makes a note, he makes reference to the fact that there's no light needed there. The light is emanating from God himself. That the Lamb of God is the light, and there's no need for a sanctuary. I love that. Jesus says there's one thing that's going to abide, and that is his word, that heaven and earth itself will pass away. There'll be no need for a temple. There'll be no need for a sanctuary. There'll be no need for us to maybe exhort one another to worship. We will be worshipers in heaven. And every moment until we get to that place in heaven, till we arrive there, is practice. Tonight you were in worship practice, and we're going to practice until he comes for us or until we go to see him. And that's a beautiful thing. And I can't wait until someday we are corporately together in worship. Tonight is a night, no doubt, that we're christening the building. This particular building. You know, there's two other buildings that are deeply and very much underway in construction, and this one as well. But we christen this building tonight, and it's the walls that we want to dedicate to God. As we've watched this thing come together, we want to dedicate the roof, that God would keep it on and the walls up and the air conditioning going just perfectly. And we dedicate these things to the Lord. There's no doubt about that. We dedicate the seats. We know we were praying and have been praying for you. Though I may particularly, maybe I don't know you by name, but we've been praying that those who would come and to sit in this place would be touched by God. We're praying that God's Spirit would move in this place, that today would just, or tonight would just be the beginning of what the Lord has in mind. We've been encouraging this church. You know that you've been hearing on Sundays and on Wednesdays for the last year that we need to be prepared as servants of God to bless and to minister to those who are going to be coming. There's going to be a lot of people coming that don't know Christ. They're coming because, frankly, they've been watching a building go up. They're coming, maybe their friend invited them, or whatever the case might be. And we've all been encouraging each other to get ready to minister to the people that are going to be coming. And this evening we got the ushers together, and the first thing we said was, keep smiling. Make sure you're smiling. Smile when they come in. Because a lot of people are going to be coming in, and we're Christians, and with that they expect a certain response from us. You know, we should never get disappointed. We're Christians. We should never get discouraged. We should never get down. And yet the truth of the matter is, we're humans, and we do get discouraged, and we do get down. But we have come to worship God. And there is a place in our hearts where there's a sanctuary. And this is an outward manifestation of that place that you and I as Christians enjoy when we retreat with God. But as we christen this place tonight, keep this in mind. I looked this up. It's kind of fun. It's kind of neat. The word to christen, or the christening of something, we immediately associate it with like a ship or a vessel. They christened, you know, the Ronald Reagan recently, that great, mighty aircraft carrier. And as they christened it, it was set out to sea. Well, the word christen comes from the Greek language, and it means to be baptized or to commence or to be dedicated. The word means to present or to consecrate, to activate or to put forth. But here's the word that I like the most regarding the meaning of the word christen. And I believe that it applies to this building if you've been around for any length of time. And that is the word to launch. We're launching this building tonight, but not only is the building being launched by us, by the Lord tonight, but this building, we pray, will act as a launching pad. We've often said that. May God use this place to launch people out into the world. When this building, when all this process is over, and we, certainly the staff, can focus on what God's called us to do without interruption, we can get back more fully to the things that matter. And those things that matter is getting out to our community and getting out down the street and around the world, because we want to see the Lord use this as a launch pad. And don't sit here tonight and say, well, you know, you go, Pastor. And all those around me, you go. Listen, you're being prayed for. May God send all of us somewhere. Maybe it's a short-term mission trip. Maybe it's a week or two to some place in the world. But the opportunities are here, and they're going to be growing all the more for you and I to be involved in getting God's word out. And so we christen the building to do that.
thousands of people every day drive up and down this freeway and they look to this building. And I know, I've already been reminded again tonight, our signage is terrible. We've got this little sign out in the back out there and it's plastic and there's a bunch of weeds growing over it and you can hardly tell it says Calvary. But you know what? We'll work on that part. But the greatest thing of all is our witness. It's not what church you attend. Maybe you're visiting tonight. You're some from other church. God bless you. It's awesome that you're here. But listen, this church, there's no church that died for you on the cross. No Christian leader died for you on the cross. There's no hype. We're not going to have, you know, pictures and postcards of your church leaders here. Why? It's not important. All of us have gathered around here tonight for one reason and for one name. It's that one name that is given under heaven whereby all men must be saved. And that's the name Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's all about Him. It's always going to be about Him. And so tonight we christen this building in honor of the Lord. I'm going to give you a favorite verse of mine. And it's a favorite verse of mine because it is. It's awesome. And listen, I hope it touches your heart. Listen to this. Look around for a moment. Okay. There's no screens yet. It's coming. But look around. We have a roof over our head. We're comfortable. At least you got some new seats, right? New location. It's a fresh new start. It's exciting. You got this replica of the Wailing Wall behind you here. Isn't that wild? Isn't that cool looking? I praise the Lord for Roger. I told Roger, I said, you know what would be really nice behind us? You know, because we were struggling about trying to find a backdrop. That's a real problem, you know, when it comes to camera and all that kind of stuff. It does funny things. Man, if we just had a backdrop, if we just had a backdrop that looked like a Wailing Wall. And I had digital photos of when we took the Wailing Wall when we were in Israel. So Roger Hayes began to look at those things, and the next thing I know, he shows up with a foam panel. And some amazing guys, I don't know where from, I'll find out later, I'm sure, but these guys made this thing, and it's awesome. Well, that's new. That's cool. We dedicate that stuff unto God. In a couple of weeks, there's going to be thousands of Jewish people. They don't know you. They don't know us. They don't know me. They don't know Jesus. And we're opening up this building, and we're hosting an opportunity for them to just meet your love. How's that? They're going to find out that you're different. And they're going to see an example. Well, the building is set in a certain motif, you know. It's California, Mediterranean, Spanish, Santa Barbara, San Diego kind of thing. It's California. Why? You know, it kind of blends in, you know, with the land that we're in and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of neat because people have noticed it. What does it mean to us? It means that God uses anything and everything. He's going to use this foam wall behind me. He's going to use the white wall and the red roof building outside, kind of mission looking. He uses everything. Don't underestimate anything that we do for Him. Yes, it's just a building. I'll be the first one to tell you. It's just a building. And you know my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ could return for the church tonight in the rapture. I love that and I wait for that to happen. The tough thing is to be committed to getting a church built when you believe the Lord can come back tonight. What color do you want to paint it? I don't know. And it's an amazing thing. But people, ladies and gentlemen, church, listen up. If Jesus does come back soon, we will be leaving behind this place for all the tribulation saints to come and meet in. Right? The second thing is to keep in mind that if He doesn't come back soon, all those little bushes and trees that are being planted and that have been planted, they're going to mature someday, long after we're gone. This building, we figured out that in about 25 years, when it's kind of aged and overgrown with bougainvillea and palm trees and certain kind of look, it's going to look just right. The only problem is, you know, we'll be like 70 and 80 years old, you know. But we'll leave it to another generation. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Listen to this verse. With all that we look around and see, in 1 Chronicles 29, 16 and 17, listen, it says, O Lord our God, all this abundance, that we have prepared to build you a house, for your holy name is from your hand, from God's hand. We can't even build God a house without him putting it in our hand. Look, God, we're giving you this building. He's, well, thank you very much. I provided everything for it. It's like when our little kids were small and they would bring us, you know, the bouquet of dandelions. You know, remember that? Oh, look, Mommy, look, Daddy, these flowers are for you. And they're oozing that white, milky, sticky junk, and they stink. Or that, you know, hot chocolate they made from gutter water, and they put the dirt in it and stir it up and say, look, Dad, I made you hot chocolate, and you act like you drink it. That's kind of like us tonight. God, we give you all this. Look, it's all yours. We give it to you. And he's going, yeah, I know all about it. I know, you know, I made all the concrete and the steel that's in the wall, and I know all the chemicals that it took to make the carpet, and I've given it to you. Well, you know what? We're giving it back to him tonight. That's what we're doing. We're giving it back to him. This is his work. And you know what? This construction project has had its challenges. It will have its challenges. There's no doubt about that. We do not live in a perfect world, and we await that perfect world. But the truth of the matter is, there's not one person involved in this project that cannot say God's hand has not been in this. There's a host of people across America tonight and in other parts of the world who know that what's happening this evening. And they have sent their prayers, they have sent money, they have sent their love over the course of the building of this wonderful work. And they don't even attend. They believe God is moving. And many people, they listen in on the broadcast that goes out throughout Europe and North Africa, and they want to be involved, and they write letters. That's a precious thing. All this has been done by God's hand. God's doing it. Well, Chronicles goes on to say there, and it is all your own. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people. That's you tonight, who are present here to offer willingly to you. What a beautiful thing. Few things we touch on tonight. The spiritual impact of what God's going to want to do in this place. The spiritual impact. These are no new verses to you. You know them already. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's a lot. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. The spiritual impact of this place, God is going to use. And he's going to use you. He's going to use me. Together, God is going to use us as witnesses regarding the spiritual impact. Then there's the vision. The vision, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is important to me. It's precious to me. For whatever reasons why, I don't know. When God ever speaks to my heart about doing something that is outside my comfort zone. Do you know what I'm talking about? The comfort zone thing? Don't mess with my comfort zone thing, you know? We don't want to have it messed with. And every time God wants to mess with me in my comfort zone, he gives me this verse regarding vision. Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Here it is, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you want to know God's presence in your life, if you want to know God's power, if you want to know what God wants to do in this world through you, then you'll recognize his authority and you'll get up. Because listen, he said, go ye therefore. He didn't say stand around and wait therefore. He didn't say sit therefore. He said, go therefore. And again, that might mean to your neighbor. It might mean to somebody that's in the sanctuary tonight. Go, therefore. So in my heart, in our lives together, it's, Lord, what do you want us to do? Okay, now that we have this building, I've told the staff, listen, get ready. I told them, get ready. God gave us this building. That means the lights are to be on all the time. That means the air conditioning is to be running. The rooms are to be filled. We need to be ministering constantly to wear this building out. It was built to wear out. Because God in these last days is not going to give us something like this to maybe pull it out once in a while and, you know, have some music and a couple of devotions and put it back away. Let's wear it out. Let's wear the place out to the glory of God. Vision. The Bible says that without a vision, God says, my people perish. And so we're on the threshold of God taking this fellowship to the next step or the next chapter of what he wants to do. And how will you be involved? And how will you and I be serving together? It's very exciting. The vision. In Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, you know these verses well. Acts 1, 7, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem has just located from 5171 Avenue down the street to now, what is this, 4201 Eucalyptus Avenue? Our Jerusalem, God has called to start here. 12, 13 years ago, it started in some houses in Chino Hills. And God began to move. And so now we're here tonight. What's going to happen next? Well, the Bible there says, Jesus speaking, he says, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria. You see, it emanates out the vision, the spiritual impact, and to all the ends of the earth. And so God is going to do that. John 14, 31, Jesus said, but that the world may know, that is, know God's heart, that the world might know God, that I love the Father. That's Jesus' obedience. And he has the Father has given me commandment. That's the vision. He says, so I do. Then he said in John 14, 31, arise, let us go from here. What a great thing. God brings us in this place, and in the weeks or the months or the years ahead, God's going to prepare us through the teaching of the Word and through worship and through fellowship. And every day of our lives, the Lord is going to say more clearly, more loud, arise, let us go from here. And he's going to do that with us. Isn't it wild? People keep asking me, they're asking me tonight, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? I feel really numb. I remember when we were walking around this dirt. I feel strange. I feel, in fact, I saw some paperwork recently where we were in escrow on the other property in Chino Hills in June of 1995. We kind of all feel like we've been pregnant for almost 8 years. And with the anticipation, you know, there was no carpet here 6 hours ago, or even probably less than that, and the carpet's still getting done in certain places, and the chairs were coming in, and it felt like there's a baby about ready to come. And the most important thing that began to happen in my heart was to see your faces come in. Because, again, it's just a building. You give it life. The Lord comes in and shines through you. And that's been the best part. But it's quite a shock. The Lord would have us to arise, though, and go from here. What about our witness around the community? In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, God calls us to a witness. It says in Scripture there, Acts 4:10, let it be known to all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here whole before you. As the apostles there were doing miracles, verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. What a great witness. The apostles were ministering and preaching in the name of Christ and giving the gospel. And it wasn't because they had achieved something. It wasn't because they had long degrees behind their name. It was because they had been with Jesus. And that's what's going to change our lives. Not only in this place, but in our private life. Are we with Jesus? Are we for real in our Christian experience? Have we been with Jesus? And that's what the world is going to be looking at. They're not going to look at the clothes we wear. They're not going to be looking and they may come in for curiosity, but that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is how you and I respond to the world that God is going to bring into this place. Will they be able to tell that we've been with Jesus? That's exciting to consider. Man, have you been with Jesus? And so we have a witness. What about the Word? The Word will be preached from here. People have said and asked, and it's normal. I don't want to leave the old building. By the way, that's very biblical. It's in the Old Testament. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. And what you need to remember is that the city, again, was very kind to us. We way, way overextended our permission to stay there. Did you know that? We had to get out. In fact, we had been, in some ways, by contract, evicted a long time ago. But it's hard to evict a lot of people out of a building. But people don't like change. It's just the way that we are. And yeah, this is a change. But people have asked, are you going to change? I went home today, I changed. Good for you, too. And if you're thinking about asking me that after service, you don't need to ask, because I'll tell you right now. I got saved at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa on a Monday night in June in 1977, and my life's been changing ever since. It's still changing. Am I going to change? Yeah, with you and I together, we're going to change. Because the Lord is taking us from glory to glory, the Scripture says. Now, I don't know what you mean. For some of you have asked, are you going to change? Well, what do you mean? Do you mean, first of all, you mean we've got a building? We're going to change? Change into what? We have a building. No. How did you feel coming in here tonight? Excited. Hallelujah. What were you feeling or thinking? I know it's new, and it might be kind of odd, and somebody, you're thinking, well, I sat over here in the old church, I heard one guy say, that guy took my seat. It's right back over here. That guy took my seat. Well, technically, it's not your seat yet. You haven't done time in it. It's all new. But you guys, it's so cool because everyone kind of nests in their spot and they kind of get settled in. And that's normal. That's cool. That's great. But change is what God does. And nothing's going to change in the way of our worship or the preaching or anything like that or the teaching. None of that's going to change. But we will change. Because God takes these things and He conforms us into the image of Christ. And when you walk into this building, I don't know how you feel, but those of us who have been most involved, we feel very tiny, we feel very small, and very much like we're in a dream. You guys, 12 years ago, we're in a house with a handful of people. And probably the most fun thing of all is everybody that's here from that house that's here tonight, none of us asked for this. Don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for what God's done, but none of us said, you know what we need? Not one person has ever said, you know what we need? We need to get a building thing going, and we need to get like a money drive and get a thermometer for the giving, and we need to do this, and then it'll happen. And nobody did that. God did that. We never had any anticipation like that. It's so weird. You know what? If we just do what Paul says here, we're going to do fine. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you're saved. If you hold fast that word which was preached to you, unless you've believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. It's going to be proclaimed in every classroom. It's going to be proclaimed to some degree or another, to some focus or another, in every sermon, everywhere. The gospel. What about worship? Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, He is God. Psalm 100 says, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Do you hear His? I love it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. It's all His. And when we worship Him, people, listen. Be reminded. The worship team, the music, it's not for us, it's for Him. Remember, you know that, right? It's not for us. It's all for Him. We may like certain songs, or, you know, when Don leads us through some of the hymns and then some of these songs and some of those other songs. Well, the truth of the matter is, regardless, when our heart is right before the Lord, when we're loving on God like that, He loves these songs. They're for Him. And then prayer. The prayers that are going to be prayed in this place. I can't wait for that. In fact, we would not have a Wednesday night service if after tonight you didn't go to your left over here and get prayer. There'll be people wanting to pray for you. This is to be a house of prayer. Jesus Christ Himself said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." And so we will continue to pray. We will pray. In 2 Chronicles 7:12, Solomon says, "The Lord appeared to him at night," says the scripture, "unto Solomon. And the word was spoken, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice.'" You see, Jack, are you insinuating, you know, the great temple in Israel? Are you trying to even remotely connect this place with that place? I wouldn't do that. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit dwelling within you is more significant than the temple that stood in Jerusalem. God said in the Old Testament, "I'm going to meet you guys here in this place." Where does God meet you now? In your heart. If you're a Christian tonight, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and He meets you in the sanctuary of your soul. He meets you in the sanctum of your mind, in your spirit. You've been born again. No wonder why Peter said that we are like stones, living stones, built together. David knew it. David wasn't allowed to physically build the temple. Remember the reason why? God says, "You have too much blood on your hands." But have you read the Old Testament carefully? Who paid for the building of the temple? David did. Millions and millions of dollars. David, out of his own checkbook, funded. He oversaw the plans. He wasn't allowed to build it because his hands were bloody. A man of war. But David knew. David said, "You know what? Can we build a house where God can dwell in it? I mean, let's be honest. But we will build this place." And so David, Solomon, they built the temple. But David knew. He said in Psalm 138, "Where shall I flee from thy presence? Where shall I go from thy spirit?" He says, "If I take the wings of the morning and flee, behold, thou art there. Thou art there. If I descend into the lower parts of the earth, behold, thou art there. If I go out into the sea and get away from all the land and everything that is normal, behold, thou art there." David knew that a building couldn't contain God. And yet God in the Old Testament said, "When you go into this place, this is the place that I have chosen, and it'll be a place where you offer sacrifices and I'll accept them." He says in verse 13, "When I shut up the heavens so that no rain comes, or command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. And now my eyes will be open, and my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered up in this place." If it was true thousands of years ago, it's true now. God will do that. And so we present this place to the Lord tonight. We present it to Him, and we give Him thanks and appreciation. Some of the things I'm going to ask you to pray for. And please pray for these things. Mainly three things. I mean, we need to always pray about God protecting this the acreage out here, that nobody would get hurt. Terrible things would happen, you know. We need to pray for the physical structure of the place. We need to pray for the security, you know, because there's just people. But you go beyond all that. Those are given things. If you wouldn't mind taking a prayer request, I'll give you three things that are very important to me. Number one most important thing to me is that even the most bizarre, whacked out Satanist in the universe that might choose to visit here someday, wow, maybe you're here tonight, I'd love to meet you. I mean, you're just here and it's like a joke. God who? What? You know what my prayer is, people? That when people pull down the streets and they begin to pull in, the moment the wheels of their car or the sole of their shoe crosses the property line, I really mean this, this is no joke, that they, though they may not understand, they would sense the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like it. Going back to my old church, I don't know what it is. Well, I didn't then, I know now. But when you pull into the parking lot at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, you don't have to go any further. Did you know that? If you've been there, you don't have to go any further. You can pull in the parking lot and park. There is something. You say, man, you're getting into touchy-feely kind of esoteric, mystical things. Oh, no, I'm not. There's just something about the sense of the presence of the Lord. And the first time I ever went there, I didn't know that. I just felt like I was kind of home, but I didn't know anybody. I felt comfortable, but I was alone. It's a miracle. Pray for that, will you? That people would come and sense the spiritual presence of the Lord. And then there's just that spiritual, I say, feeling. What do I mean by that is that there's people who will come, they always do at church, they'll write a note or they'll leave a phone call and they'll say, you know, we were looking for another church or we were driving by, we came, and in fact we found this church by accident, but we're home. It's a weird thing. Maybe some of you are here tonight. You remember that happening. And you haven't left. It was a spiritual thing. We're home. Pray that God will continue to do that, but listen carefully. Hey, is it just us tonight, everybody? Is it just the church right here, right now? Right? Is it us? Because I got something kind of weird to say. If it's just us tonight, this is going to sound weird, but I mean this. May the Lord bring into this place those that He would. And may the Lord keep away those that He would. Does that make sense? Because the Bible talks about a day and age which we're living in that we looked at on last Sunday where it's a very dangerous time. May God govern over this place to keep it spiritual. People, this is not a sign of spirituality by how wide the chairs are. And we've only got, you know, half the chairs or less in here right now. This is not a sign of spiritual development. It's how deep this church goes. How deep is this church? Are we spiritually deep? Can we handle things? And so all of us will go through trials. We'll all go through difficulties. We'll all be stretched, and we don't like it. We don't like to be stretched. God, stop. I'm going to snap. I'm going to break. And then He pulls one more time. And we survive. And we come to find, and we come to lean upon verses and chapters of the Bible that we had read 1,000 times before, but now it makes sense. How does that happen? Because of difficulty and trials. Well, finally, my prayer request is that the heart of this church, that our hearts would be as tall as an order as this is for all of us. Lord, may Your heartbeat be our heartbeat. When we come in, may we just decide to reach out to other people. My daughter was telling me the other night. She said, I remember when I didn't say hi to people. I was shy. And now, I put that behind me. And I kind of laughed. I was driving in the car last night. And she said, I put that behind me. And I'll just walk up to people and I'll say hi now. And I thought, you know, that is very, very cool. And I'm reminded of that tonight. We just need to say hi to people. In a moment, we're going to wrap this thing up. And temptation, no doubt, is to run home and to go do the things that you have to do. But you know what? Say hi to people. There's one rap I'm not going to take. And it's this rap. Well, the church is so big now that it's just hard to meet people. I have never understood that. I don't get it. It's hard to meet people when there's nobody around. I don't get it. Well, you know, there's just so many people. Meet them. Reach out, you know. Like the commercial, touch somebody and say, hi, how are you? My name's Jack. Or, you know, what's your name? You can do that. We can do that. And by doing that, church, remember, this is a pep talk to the church, okay? Because soon the world's going to come in here. Reach out and grab them. And you know, I know we're Calvary Chapel and we're really huggy kind of people. It freaks a lot of people out. It's kind of scary for some people. You can read them. You can feel them. They just get... It's really... funny, and you can feel them. So just stick out a hand or smile at them. But again, I came from a church that's massive. Massive! And you always feel the love of God there. People are always saying hello. Hi, how are you? And you begin to wonder, and it's quite funny. They'll say, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? Oh, great! Great to see you! Great to see you! Oh, do you know that guy? I've never seen that guy in my life. That's very cool. I think that's something Jesus would do. Hi, how are you? Fine. How are you? I'm doing fine. Okay. We live in this world where everything is just so closed and shut down. Say hi. Love. Your heart. Our hearts. They need to exude onto people. Wrap them up. You see somebody alone? Ask them how they're doing. You say, Pastor, that's really bold. I know, but you know what? We're only living once on this planet. And somebody might be hurting over there, you know? Ministry is going to happen when we make ourselves vulnerable. Don't you hate that? But that's when ministry happens, when we make ourselves vulnerable. We step out of our comfort zone and we let God be big. I pray that all of us have got the guts to let God be big. Let Him be big. Let Him be dynamic. Let Him do things. To where a couple of weeks ago, we had a board meeting and we were laughing. For those of you who were at Mimi's that night, you could probably see us or hear us rejoicing. We were cracking up because we were saying, do you remember when we came over to this piece of property and there was a sign out on it and it said available? And we were barely making our payments and payroll and light bill and water and all that stuff where we're at right now. And we were going to make an offer on these 13 acres of land. 12 and a half acres of land, and there was no way that we could make the payment just on buying the land. That's impossible. And we were laughing, and you know, we're sitting there, isn't it hilarious? And now look, and we're the guys on the board. We're like, okay, we know what's going on. And we're going, man, can you believe it? Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. See, somebody comes up and says, Pastor, what's the vision for the next 10 years? Tell us the vision. Out following God, not knowing where he was going. That's the vision, you know. Following God. Tell that to a bank. Doesn't go over very good. Honestly, man, in the next 10 years, don't you want to be in heaven with the Lord? I mean, come on. But listen, the truth of the matter is, it's God's life, his heart, living out through you that's going to make all the difference in the world. And we dedicate this place to him. And as we were in that board meeting, we laughed because we made a phone call. We asked the owner of the property, a little Frenchman, broken English. We offered him so much. You know, they sell land by the foot these days. It's not by acre anymore. We offered him so much money per foot. And he said a couple of words in French, I think. He didn't even say, pardon my French. He just said something, and he hung up on us. And so we knew that the Lord had kind of authorized us to kind of go to this amount, and we left that before the Lord. And we were petrified. Even if he would have accepted our low offer, we were petrified. How are we going to do this? And if he says yes, and we enter into this thing, well, the bill is going to come at the 30 days to make the installment. How are we going to pay it? And so the guy calls back and he says, well, you know, I'll take it for this much. And it was just the amount that we had prayed and set previously. And so what do you do at that? Now watch, people. What do you do at that moment? Is it the Lord or not? Well, stop right there. Maybe you're at this in your life. Is it the Lord or not? Okay, stop. Can you now, at that moment, walk away from it, set it down, and never know? Are you willing to walk away and say, well, I don't know if it was God or not, but we ran. We were so scared, we hightailed it out of there. What are you going to do when you step out and God says, okay, are you ready to play ball here, huh? You want to get into the walk of faith? Here it is. I just touched his heart. He accepted your offer. Now what are you going to do? So then the guys, you know, with black cars and suits show up with papers like that thick, and they say, why don't you sign here, 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 you know? And it's like, what are we doing? It's impossible. This is a true story. I told Pastor Chuck on the phone, Chuck. I didn't say Chuck. I said, Pastor Chuck. He goes, well, how much do you guys have to put down? And I said, 200. And he goes, 200. And he was silent. And I said, no, I mean, 200,000. You have 200,000 to put down? Yes. Now watch this. You guys, it wasn't very long ago. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. You put that down, you step out, and for us, that's a lot of money. But to the construction world and to that's nothing. That's a joke. And so the guy accepts that. And now the Lord says, now what are you going to do? And you step again and you step again and you step again. And three years into it, the Lord, through you, through all of us, pays off the property. And the Lord begins to show that he's very much in it. And so, as a board, we look and see what God's doing, and we just crack up. We've all concluded that we happen to be a bunch of misfits that are at the right place at the right time. That's all it is. We happen to be, and you're going to hear from Pastor Chuck. I think he's coming September 20th when he's available. He's traveling all over, back and forth, America to Europe right now. But you may very well hear him say, as he did the one Wednesday night he came on out, church, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Jesus Christ loves us. He loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. God the Father loves us. And people, by the grace of God, until the rapture or until we die of old age, let's leave a mark that is honorable, a witness that is healthy, and that we'd give glory to God in this place. Amen? Father, we together as your people corporately tonight, we simply come tonight and we give you this place. Lord, we are grateful. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And God, we continue to pray that you would bless, Lord, Dave and Denver and Ron and all the workers, Father. That you would bless Darko and Cornerstone. And Lord, for all their generosity and support, Lord, reward, bless, pour out upon them that which they cannot contain. Father, for the city, for the mayor, for the fire marshal, Lord, for the police, Father, for all those who have been placed by your decree and authority, who have been so kind to us, we pray that you continue to touch their hearts. Grant, Lord, us favor with the county and with the state and with the federal government. Lord, may our witness before them. And Lord, may the handling of funds and safety issues and fire issues and all that stuff, health issues, just be impeccable. And Father, may you just continue to meet all the needs. Thank you, Lord God, that we've never had to worry while you're at the helm. We've never had to fret as long as you're in control. Keep our hands off the wheel, Lord. If we try to pray our way in or sneak our way into some sort of power or position or place, Lord, don't even pay attention to us. Lord, do a work in this place and do a work in our hearts that is so precious, so wonderful, so lasting, so forever, dear God, that for all of us and for those who are involved mainly, may all of us corporately fall on our face and say, God, you are great, you are awesome. Lord, do a work here that no man can explain. May nobody be able to drive by and say, well, you know, they did that because of this, and they did this because of that. May people drive by or walk in and say, you know what? God must be doing something there. So, Father, we dedicate this place into your hands. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Let's stand. Real quick. Whoop, are we out? Real quick. You're going to be asking. It's going to be explained later on in months ahead. The stone. What's the stone all about? That stone we got from Jerusalem, 2,000-pound stone shipped over here. You know what? It's just a piece of Israel, but we, symbolically, it's a cornerstone for us, symbolizing Jesus Christ. What's with the seven lampstands? Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I walk through the midst of the seven lampstands, which is a symbol of the churches of God throughout all the earth, his church. And so the menorah together with the stone, symbolizing the church built upon Christ. The colors you see around here, especially the tile, God picked them all. We got those colors from Israel. If you don't like them, talk to God about it. But remember, keep this in mind. Everything's under construction. Everything's under work. Nothing's perfect just yet. And it may never be until the Lord comes back. Let's close in a song of worship and then meet one another and then kind of look around. But God bless you guys.